So we are, for the month of sort of July, August, we are preaching what we like. There is no whole church series going on. And as I was seeking the Lord, I felt he led me directly to a series of thoughts on identity. And I shared at the men's ministry last Thursday a little bit about men's, about identity and what we've lost and what we really should have. Who am I? It's a great question to ask yourself. You know, you look at your hand, look at your thumbprint. There is not one person in the room or one person in the world. You know, 120 people maybe in the room. Let's think of the 8 billion people on planet Earth, and not one of them has got the same thumbprint, iris, or DNA that you have. Why? Because you are unique and you are individual. But there's so many people who are saying, but who am I? Who am I? And we're going to look at what happened when man lost his true identity. And then we're going to look over the next, or today we're going to look at that, and then we're going to look at how we regain our true identity. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're living in a world where you have a lost identity. And we want to help you find, discover what that true identity should look like. You often hear people saying this, I am trying to find the real me. Or I'm trying to discover the true me, to discover who I really am. And I think there are people in this world, you know, you were given the most precious birthright of gender identity when you were born. And yet there are people trying to discover what their gender identity is. No, you were born with a gender identity. It is physically in your body, and that should help everybody in the room. If you go into the wrong bathroom in this place, I'll tell you to go into the right one. Because we live by truth. God created male and female. And the word of God is very clear by what it teaches. I'm trying to find who I am. Let me help you. God has given us a true identity. And it's as we discover our true identity, we begin to understand who I am. There are three parts to your being, of who you actually are. There's three parts to you. We're going to briefly look at those three parts this morning and then see how it all went pear-shaped. Three levels. Our first level is this. Consider your fingerprints, your iris, and your DNA. They reveal the physical identity of who you are, the body of who we are, the fleshly part of who you are. If you go to an airport, they will look at your passport. They will look at the iris of your eye. If you go down to the police station for any reason, and they want to take your fingerprint for any reason, they have got a record of your identity, and at birth, they are trying to bring in the DNA blood-taking identity of every human being. Let's trust that never becomes law. If you're a criminal, anyway. Or if you don't want your DNA known by the authorities everywhere you go. I don't want my DNA known by all the authorities. I am a unique individual, and I trust that that will stay that way in that sense. So the level one is our flesh. The level one of our flesh is actually the lowest level of who you are. It happens to be your earth suit. Like I've said before, if you travel to the moon, you land on the moon, you will have a space suit. Everyone agree? You step out of there, there's no oxygen, and you will die in moments. So you have to have a space suit in heaven, and on earth, you have an earth suit. Look at each other. Have a look around the room. There's all sorts of shapes and sizes. There's all sorts of colors. There's all sorts of individuality around you. It's your earth suit. We are fearfully, the Bible says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our true self is found much deeper. It's much deeper than the body mass of what we are. It's the soulish identity. That's level two. Our soulish identity is much deeper than the flesh of who we are. The soulish identity is made up of the mind, will, and the emotion, or our desires, feelings, and affections. It includes our personality, our characteristics, and the substance of who we are. That is much deeper than what I see with my eyes and the flesh of who we are. It's the soul of who you are. And your soul lives in this world making decisions for good and for bad. Your soul is where corruption or truth will stand in the test of time. It's our flesh that is swayed by people's opinion. Our flesh, it goes one way one day and it goes the next day. You know, you may have voted somebody into power, whether it's in a home nation or in this nation. You may have voted that person into power as the government official of our nation. And then when they're in power, you think, oh, why on earth did I vote for them? And your opinion changes. That's all about the soul of who we are. We are complex beings. We are unique in our thinking. We're quirky and we're distinctive. And if you're married, you realize that your wife changes their mind very often. And that's not being sexist, but it's how the female makeup is. Females, we as men carp up, mentalize things and put things in boxes, and we open the right box when we want to go into it. But for ladies, their lives are entangled, entwined into all those boxes, and their lives are so much more complex than what a male is. Scientific fact, not just a thing of this world, all right? Let's move along. There is a third area. Let me get to the third area. This is where I feel most safe, all right? The third area, which is the most important area, is the level three. It is the most important part of who you are, and it's the part that the devil is after. Let me say that again, because you may be walking down the path of life and you're allowing your soul to be drawn in all sorts of directions. Do you know what? If the enemy can drag your soul in one direction, he will captivate your spirit. So important that we understand the power. He is after your immortal being. Your spirit is immortal. And the devil is after your immortal being. Everybody, whether you're saved or unsaved, we have an immortal soul or spirit that will live forever. We will either live in one or two places. We will live, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will live in heaven for eternity, because your spirit has been born again and is now in relationship with God. But if you are not walking with God and your relationship's not with God and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are still separated from that relationship, and therefore you will live for eternity. That's a long time. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You will live for eternity in separation in a place called hell from God. That is why the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. We are given 70 years plus. And there's a number of people in the room who are saying, praise the Lord for the plus. We are given 70 years on planet Earth to make right choices, to accept God and have a different destination. Or we can reject God and go our own way and do our own thing, but eventually there is damnation for all who do not believe. That's a tough one, but this is what 1 Thessalonians says about the third level and all three levels. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, separate you, take you out. May he sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in spirit, soul, and body. You read their Bible version of what it is, and it's a soul and a body. But you are a tripartite being. You are spirit, soul, and body, just like the Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is a tripartite. Elohim means plurality of God. We are spirit, soul, and body. And this scripture really clearly, highly highlights that truth. The third person of who we are, the spirit of a person, the inner person, the real you, is the most important part of who you are. But mankind lost that divine connection with God through disobedience. When in the Garden of Eden, suddenly there was a separation from God. And that separation filtered its way through to all generations. Why? Because one man chose to sin and walk away from God. Therefore, we were all born in sin and separated from God. That's why the term, you must be born again. You need to come from, Adam was born again. He was born from life to death. We need to be born again from death to life. And the transformation then begins to take place in our life. So I want you to turn with me in a moment in your Bibles back to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, because it talks about how humanity lost this relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 1, we see God creating the universe. He sets earth in its orbit. He speaks everything into existence to sustain life for the planet and for mankind. In Genesis chapter 2, we see God create man and lead man into an incredible place called the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden was a place of, it was a place of immense joy. It was a place of peace. It was a place of tranquility. It was a place where relationship with God could flourish. It was a place of intimate relationship with God. It was a place where they walked together in the cool of the day, where Adam would share with God, this is what I've been doing today, God. I've been naming the animals. I've been naming the mountains. I've been naming the insects. I've just given the bald eagle its name. Can you imagine this, you know, just having this conversation with God? Adam, what have you been up to today? Oh, I've just discovered Niagara Falls. Who knows? I don't know. No, probably not, because at that point, you know, the Earth hadn't Peleg. That's when it all happened. But he was discovering the beauty and the amazement of all that was going on. It was a beautiful place where heaven and earth met together. There was no issue. There was no pain. There was no suffering. But heaven and earth met in a beautiful place. But also the Bible tells us that this next chapter is where Adam lost everything. In Genesis let's go back first. This is where our true identity is found. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. The beautiful thing is we are made in the image of God. In according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over all the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God is speaking what his man should have authority over and that he should rule and reign and have dominion upon the earth. Another translation puts it this way, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female, and God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. That was our commission. That was who we were meant to be. We were meant to take charge, be in charge upon the earth. God's intention was that his purpose and plan for mankind and everything, he said, it's good. When he came to man, when he created and formed man, he said, this is really good. You know, if you're married and you're a lady, look at your man and say, you're really good. I can't hear you. And that was God's opinion of man. You are really good. He loved what he'd seen. But then things take a turn. It's just incredible how man, he should have been looking to God for his all-sufficiency. He should have been looking to God and saying, look what you've done, the beauty and the surroundings and all that I have. But then comes the whisper. Then it's the whisper we've got to listen out for and be aware. The enemy still comes and whispers lies. He is a liar from the beginning. He will always be. And he will lie. The grass is greener on the other side. No, it's not. The grass is greener where you water it. If you've got a marriage that's struggling and you look over the garden fence and the grass is greener with the secretary or the boss at work, or I tell you what, no, it's not. You water the grass where you are and your relationship will flourish. And here he didn't look for God's best. Adam knew his true identity before God. Adam wasn't confused before sin came along. Adam wasn't confused or forgetful. Anybody in the room? Confused, forgetful. He didn't experience sinful thoughts or wrong motives. He didn't say things that he regretted 5 minutes later. Do we live in, we live in this world, don't we? You know, Adam wasn't praying, asking God to forgive him every other day. Adam didn't struggle with life-controlling habits, and he didn't have an identity crisis. Adam was walking with God. And we know that through the Bible, there were other men and women who walked with God, and they had an incredible relationship with him. But many of them also had a fallen life, a fallen mess that they were dealing with in their journey. Adam was walking with God without sin, without pain, without hurt, without death in his life. But then we enter Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, a new law was set in motion. In Genesis 3, what went from the Garden of Eden and relationship with God, everything was then corrupted and everything then changed. And the law of sin and death was brought into operation. The law of sin and death was a destructive thing upon the earth and upon all who lived upon the earth. The law of sin and death affected spiritually and physically. You know, when you look at the plants, they went from the beautiful Garden of Eden to weeds. You know, I know Jane's been in the garden, he cuts all up her arms. Jerry's been in the garden, cuts all up his arms. Who else was in the garden this weekend? Yeah, digging away, pulling up weeds. I tell you what, they grow so fast. Even when there is a drought. Even in drought, the weeds seem to succeed. Why? Because the earth is cursed. Listen to what happened. Mankind lost his identity and took on a new identity. Faith became corrupted to fear. Health and wholeness was corrupted to sickness and death. Peace was corrupted to worry. Freedom was corrupted to bondage. Blessing was corrupted to a curse. And so on and so on and so on. How things suddenly, which should have been a blessing to Adam, suddenly became corrupted because of a law of sin and death. Do you know what? Man was not meant to die. Why? Because we are eternal beings. But when sin came, death followed. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says this, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You know, where are we in our life? Where do we stand? Are we in this place of Adam the first or Adam the last? I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Adam the last in the next couple of weeks, but if you're in Adam the first, you're born in sin, you live in a very natural world, doing very natural things, and you have no relationship with God. You are living your life according to the first Adam. And the law of sin and death are at work in your life. But I want you to know this. God had a restoration plan. Aren't you so thankful? Goodness me, we would have been without hope. The Bible talks about this in Ephesians, I think it is, that we were without hope in a lost world, but Jesus came and he changed everything. There was a plan. In the middle of the garden, in the middle of this moment of Adam and Eve and their transgression, God starts to speak. And he said, there is a restoration plan. I'm going to release this restoration. I'm going to speak this out. See, for things to manifest here on the earth, they need to be spoken. If you want your healing to manifest, you've got to speak the end result. If you want your family to be restored, you've got to speak the end result. The earth was formed by the voice of God, by the very command that he released. In the beginning, God said, and it was so. Come on, why should we operate by anything other than the principles that God laid down? If you want to see something manifest on the earth, start to speak the end result. Not speak as you go, oh, these aches and pains, they seem to be getting worse. That's not going to bring the end result that you want. Okay? That's just you speaking the reality of what you feel. I moved a ton of concrete with a trowel yesterday. A trowel. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of shingle that you move with a trowel. Why didn't you use a shovel? That's a very good question. I haven't got time to get into that, but I couldn't. And it is. And then I went to stand up. This is a bit painful. But we got to speak the end result. And I want to encourage you, we were created in the likeness and the image of God. So why shouldn't we also walk in the principles of his creative power when he spoke the worlds into existence? I believe they are there for us to live by. So what happened? God wasn't going to sit back and just let what Adam did have a same result on every human being throughout history. So God set a plan in motion called redemption. And if you look in the Bible, and we're going to do this next week, redemption starts to flow from the moment he begins to speak it. Oh, it wasn't until Jesus came that it manifested. But the flow began right here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. I'm going to read this. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "How could you have done such a thing?" God knew what he had done. He knew what he had given. He knew what they could have lived in. And he said, "How could you have done such a thing?" And she answered, "The snake tricked me." Come on. The devil doesn't learn new tactics. He, as a young man in this room, he could be tricking you right now. You don't want to believe this. This isn't true. You can go down a different path. Did God really say, it's exactly what he said to Adam in the Old Testament here, "The snake tricked me, and so I ate the fruit." The Lord God said to the snake, God is speaking to a snake. You can speak to your body. You can speak into the atmosphere. You can speak over your family. You can, if God can speak to a snake, we can speak. And the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you did this, a curse will be on you, and you will be cursed as no other animal, tame or wild, will ever be. You will crawl on your stomach." I just want you to notice that. When God cursed the snake, it was then that the snake began to crawl on its stomach. Before then, the snake had legs. Just so you may not have ever seen that before. Have you ever seen that? Anyway. So, from now on, you will crawl on your stomach and you will eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will make you and the woman enemies to each other. Your descendants and her descendants will be enemies. One of her descendants will crush your head and you will bite his heel. One of her descendants. I can't take next Sunday's message now. I so want to take it. One of her descendants is going to crush your head. Oh yeah, you may bite his heel. See, God was revealing and he was speaking into the history of time to come. See, God is outside time. He knew that in the fullness of time, this one descendant would come. He was already there in that fullness of time. But he was speaking at the beginning of time to the woman, to the serpent, and said, one from her womb is going to crush your head. Aren't you so thankful for that? The last Adam would come and purchase redemption for us. This feels like a soap opera. You get them to the place that they think, tell me more, and then you say, right, we're going to come back to that next week. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to stop there and we're going to come back to that next week. Because we've found out how we lost our identity. Now I want to see that process of how we gain it back. How this one that came from her loins was going to come about on the face of the earth and change the destiny and the identity of our lives forever. If you're here this morning and you're living with an identity crisis, and you're saying, God, who am I? God, who are you? You're living with an identity crisis. You don't know who you are, and you don't know who God is. But today, that can all change. How can it change? Well, there's this position called the cross, and it's like that. This is how Jesus died on the cross for you. You're over here and God is over there, and there's a great gulf between you. But Jesus came and hung on a cross so that he would bridge the gap so that you could find him as your Savior, as your Lord. If you're here and you don't know him here today, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer that takes you from being lost to being in relationship with God. From being a sinner over here to being washed clean over here. And it's as simple as this prayer. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. But today there's this scripture that says there are many in the valley of decision. That could be you. It could be your life. We're going to see the potential of change as we pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray it sincerely. And then I'm going to ask you, if you prayed it sincerely in your heart and you meant it, that you put up your hand and respond as an act of faith and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let's pray together. Father, I come to you today. I may be lost, but you said I could be found. Today, Jesus, I give my life to you, just as you gave your life for me. You died at the cross to take away my sin and to give me a future. Jesus, come into my heart. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye closed. Come on, if you've got that thumping in your heart, you've got the sweaty palms, if you know that you need to make this choice in your life, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. One, two, three. If you prayed that prayer this morning, just give me a wave. Pop up your hand. Pop it back down. Is there anybody in this room? You say, yeah, that's me. You may have identified with the man that is in the digging away at the hole. It's the same principle. One was digging and found life. The other was digging and it was just a pit. Come on, do you want to get out of the pit and into the place of life? Is there anybody in this room? You say, yeah, that's me. Choice is always going to be ours. Father, I thank you for everyone and each one in this room today. Father, I thank you for the power of your words that you spoke. There is one who is coming that will bruise his head. So Father, we just thank you today for our salvation. We thank you that you've called us your own. You've made us your family. And Father, I pray that the joy of our salvation would just ooze out of who we are and the joy that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Fantastic. Well, you have a fantastic week. We're going to do some teas, coffees, and refreshments. And just let that thought permeate in your head. Have another listen to it on Spotify and just let God start speaking into your heart. Amen? Fantastic. Have a great week.